Good morning, everybody, and welcome to the Thursday morning MV Protocol. Today is June 24th, and I'd like to welcome those of you that are here live, as well as those of you listening to this via recording, which, of course, you can do by going to motorvitality.com or subscribing to whatever podcast application you happen to enjoy using. We do have a guest speaker today. So I am going to start the call off the way I do just about every week, but I want to keep this to a 5-minute portion of today's call so that we can get in with our conversation with Tony. But I do want to start the call off the way I do most weeks, which is by saying, is there anything that anybody learned this last week that you wish you had known before? Anything that happened that's worthy of sharing with other professionals across the country, or any questions we can ask and answer for you? Anybody have anything? Well, that makes it easy then. we're going to jump right into our conversation. I wanted to actually have Tony has popped on the calls every once in a while. We hear, he'll come in and have a conversation, join the conversation, which, by the way, I love it when people do. Some of my favorite calls are the ones where we might have a topic and then somebody asks a question. We end up spending most of the time talking about, what you guys want to talk about, which I love, love doing. We're always looking for conversations, but Tony and I have been friends for 20 plus years now. We met. Tony was back when I was in my infancy of this in this industry as a just a sales guy, straight commission sales guy for the manufacturer. We represented the manufacturer that I, that we did. Tony was the rep. He was the manufacturer rep for the OEM, for the manufacturer. Now, I want to kind of set the stage on what happened there and why I initially gained respect for Tony on a professional level, I've seen how that spreads in his personal world as well. But and then I just want to kind of have a conversation with Tony about perspective and just some of the stuff that we've seen over the last 20 years. But I did want to kind of give a background on this. It was pretty typical for manufacturers' representatives to not really have any experience in the field. A lot of times they were hired, they had a degree in something or another, and they came in and they would come in through the dealership for a day or two and rah, 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 we got to get your sales up. You guys are great, and then they'd be gone and you'd never hear from them again. And it would be, that was about the extent of it. Tony came in and they used to do that for me in particular because I would, you had to sell 20 or 250 of the particular brand that we represented back then. You had to sell 250 in order to go to all the fancy. They had a trip, like all these exotic places, the Caribbean and different places every year. And if you sold 250 of those, of that brand, then you got to go on that trip. I was usually right in the 230 range. So I was just shy by about 20 units or so. But I also had an 80-90% closing ratio and created well over 90% of my own business. So there just wasn't a lot more opportunity for me. I mean, I'm not saying that I couldn't have improved and done a little bit better, but I maxed out my territory pretty well. These other reps would come in and they'd say, oh, we got to get you up to that 250. I'm like, I'm all for that. I want to get up to the 250. How do we do it? What do we do? And nothing would ever come from it. Tony was the very first manufacturer's rep that came in. Number one, had been in the industry for a while, so knew the industry, but also really said, I want to understand what you do. You know, you say you've maxed it out. And so I said, come ride with me. Come spend some time with me. And Tony drove over and left, you know, with me while I canvassed and organized and went on sales appointments and ended up helping, you know, evaluate presentations. And just through the years, really delved in and got to know what he was doing, became a certified water specialist through WQA. So he really understood the industry. I've watched Tony in that position. And then I watched him work at the dealer level as well. And so I thought that Tony would have a kind of a fun and unique set of experiences coming from both the OEM level and the dealer level, and having actually been out there and carrying a test kit into the home and helping with installations and those sorts of things. So with that, this very long little introduction of an interview of Tony, right? I would like to welcome you, Tony Marino, and to the call. So good morning.
Good morning. Thanks, Kelly. Yeah, as Kelly has said, I've been in this industry for 24 years now, I believe, and I've covered many different aspects of the water treatment industry. I started out consulting on a job and became a certified plant operator for a bottling plant, and the bottling plant was in such disarray, we ended up rebuilding it and built it to NSF or IBWA standards and became a NSF showcase plant for other plants to come in and see how that was set up. From there, that led me to working with a filter manufacturer, Kuna One Water Factory. I was a regional rep for, I think, 7 years for them. I was told not to go visit a particular set of dealers and that they would never buy equipment from us. And of course, I didn't listen very well. So I went and knocked on their doors as well, knew that they sold this alternate product. And one of their owners talked me into a long courtship of about a year and 3 months, said, hey, come work for this manufacturer instead. I was flattered. I said, no, thank you. Until I went and actually agreed to have a interview. So I went and became a manufacturer's rep for one of the major manufacturers, and did that for a while, and was hired by one of my customers. One of their managers had passed away and asked me to come run their dealership. Now, I've been in a lot of sales trainings and a lot of seminars and all kinds of things. I've been around the best sales managers in the industry. And I thought, yeah, I pretty much know my stuff, until I worked for this local dealer, and I never carried a test kit before. I've sat in lots of video demos. I sat in lots of training sessions, like I said, but really carried a test kit. And I have to give Kelly the credit. When I started going out and riding with him and seeing what it really took to be a salesperson who had to self-generate their leads because they weren't giving store leads in that particular territory, Kelly had a good repertoire of how to capture that market without any help. And that was hugely impressive to me. And even though I've seen him do it still, and we videotaped lots of demos throughout the years, actually never having carried a test kit is quite different, as you guys well know. And when I start managing this dealership, I had to rehire salespeople, but until then I had to run the lead. So I had to take that knowledge that I knew and I'd seen many, many other people do and actually go out and do it. What I found out was that was the absolute most enjoyable part of everything that I did in that dealership, was actually being in the home selling. That was the fun part. I got to tell the story. I got to do what drives this industry, is help people provide solutions for issues that they likewise would not be able to handle on their own. So that was the fun part.
So Tony, 2 decades of experience in the industry from different, you know, kind of different perspectives. What has been the biggest change that you've seen, do you think?
I think one of the biggest changes is awareness. People are far more aware of what's in their water. Used to be, you know, everybody was chasing well water because people knew in well water that they obviously, you know, had all the indications of needing water treatment. And municipal water was kind of taboo. Most dealerships stayed away from municipal water. I think the industry's changed quite a bit that you're seeing articles almost every day on microplastics, PFAS, you know, nitrates. The contaminants are talked about a whole lot more these days, and people are more aware, and there's more research and information out there on how to find the solutions to what you're looking for. So I think that creates a knowledgeable client, which actually helps you in a way, but then again, it in a way that can hurt you a little bit too, because now they're going to sharp, they're smarter, they're going to look for information, they're going to go to the website, and they're going to search you and find out who you are and what you're about and who you belong to. So I think it's just a smarter consumer these days than there was before. So I think that's the biggest change.
And, you know, from a dealer perspective and a, you know, an OEM manufacturer's perspective, you know, what's the relationship typically like from a dealer side, you know, with a OEM, you know, with a supplier? And, you know, what are some of the things that dealers or manufacturers should be doing to improve those relationships? And just as a sidebar on that, a lot of the people on this call are in sales. They're doing sales. How, you know, and so you ask a question like that, how can a dealer improve a relationship with a supplier, with a manufacturer, or vice versa? What can a salesperson do to help that? Or should they? Should they have a relationship with the manufacturer?
Great question. I think knowing where your products come from and a little bit about the people that are manufacturing them can be helpful for the salesperson, just to know that they're putting out a reliable product. They know that they kind of know a little bit about the QC and the extents that the OEM does to provide a product that is assembled correctly and quality control procedures.
We lose somebody?
We're back. Sorry about that. I don't know why it's been dropping. It's right about this time. Every last few weeks it's been doing that. I'm not sure why, but
right.
Anyway, Tony,
right.
Sorry about that. Tony, go ahead.
And that's all I have to say about that.
Yeah.
You know, I think it's good for the Salesforce to know where their products come from and the integrity of the OEM. But I think too much information can be dangerous too, because the consumer really doesn't care how it's built. They need to know that they're, you know, getting a product that's going to take care of their concern. So certifications are important, and knowing, you know, what the unit is certified to do, and if it's applied correctly, that's great. So I think it gives the salesperson the peace of mind of knowing that their unit is being made, like, if it's made in the USA, if it's not made in the USA, consumers will ask that these days. They want to know where their product's coming from. So I think you need to have the answer, but I think there are many other things that are much more important than using that as a resource for your customer.
So we didn't talk about this ahead of time, Tony, but I'm kind of curious, just in your experience, what do you think? You know, because I've having been in the industry for almost as long as you, I've seen one of the biggest changes that I've seen is that you've got these, you're now seeing outside entities a lot more come in and buy up what has been, you know, have been the major players in our industry for a long time, the smaller guys, you know, they, so you've got, you know, A.O. Smith coming in and you've got, you know, the
electric company,
electric companies coming in and purchasing these, you know, these manufacturers and combining them together. What do you think is going on in the industry? Where will it be in 10 years? How are those things going to impact what we're doing out there every day?
Yeah, it almost seems like as the consumers are becoming more aware of what's needed, the industry providers are shrinking or collectively joining with one another or buying each other out. And you're also seeing other companies get involved, solar companies. Like I said, there's a Franklin Electric that purchased some of these big players out there. So what that seems to be indicating to me is that this industry is not going anywhere. Servicing people's water needs is going to be key in survival. I mean, toilet to tap technology, whole home recycling is just around the corner. You're hearing things on the news now in California about droughts and other areas with droughts and less rain, and all that's gonna lead to I don't know. I guess basically what I'm trying to get at is the industry is changing. Although it's shrinking, there's just the it's just a different consumer these days, I guess.
Yeah. So switching it, you know, as from a also somebody who's been in the industry for a long time, what advice would you give somebody coming in brand new to this industry or that had, you know, was either in sales or just kind of being introduced to the industry? What advice would you give to them?
Well, definitely don't be afraid to ask questions is number one, because there are no silly questions, but find a mentor, find somebody who's been in the industry that can help you through. I mean, you don't have to reinvent the wheel. But I think sales knowledge, as far as, you know, like WQA, being WQA certified for me is probably one of the most important things I did in the water treatment industry. You think you know what you know, and that's just a good general knowledge test to say, hey, I'm willing to take my efforts a step further and become professional, change it from having a job to having a profession that you can actually take and use anywhere in the country, I think is huge. So educating yourself, surrounding yourself with people who know, this industry is kind of neat because they tend to share a lot of things, whether you're competitors or not. Over the long haul, I think people are more willing to share information and help you be successful. They want to see you succeed. So reaching out to find a mentor or somebody who's been through it already, I think is a huge advantage.
Jen, you've known Tony for a long time. Any questions? Anything that you want to ask, or anybody else on the call?
Tony, over the years, I mean, when I came into the industry, you were the district manager of the dealership that I was at, and I know you helped guide us quite a bit. But over the years, you have held different positions. So out of all of the different positions that you held, what was probably your favorite position to hold? I mean, you talked about going into the homes, but would that be your favorite?
I think there's two. When I had to become a certified plant operator for a bottling plant, and learning how that whole process worked, that was very rewarding. I loved that job. It was great. I ended up training my replacement, and the person was very successful there. But I think the most rewarding would be working with salespeople, helping people know that there's an industry out there that you can go sell a product that takes care of the customer's issue. It provides them numerous ways to help them both either with health or protecting their home and water, home and home appliances. I don't think there, I mean, there's not a business that operates without water. I mean, everything our life has to do with is water. You can't live without it. So whether it's in your home or in your business, I mean, again, this is an amazing industry. And I think one of the things that helped me learn the most, though, there was a period when Kelly was sales manager for that same company that we started videotaping sales presentations. And it's funny because people would get super nervous. Nobody likes to be videotaped. Nobody likes to be challenged on what they think that they know. But the whole point of that was to let them see themselves and self-evaluate and see where they needed help to grow and polish their weapons, so to speak. But I think that was the most rewarding thing ever. And that's probably, that whole process helped me when I had to pick up the sales kit and actually go out and do it. Had I not sat through all those demonstrations and seen all the things that you shouldn't do, it really helped me be successful out there. So I think it's really important, if you haven't done it, have somebody videotape your demo and evaluate yourself. You'll beat yourself up way further than whoever you're working for, whatever do. So I think that was probably the most important thing that impressed me in learning about the whole sales process.
Tony, when I built my house, Tony pretended to be the homeowner because I wanted to know what some of the competitors that we had were saying about us. And so Tony came in and pretended to be the homeowner. We called a couple people out to give us presentations. And I was actually at an office built in the basement. There was nothing in the house. It was a completely empty house. We hadn't moved in yet. But I was in the basement listening on a baby monitor to what was happening upstairs, this was when I was in sales, you know, so I wanted to know what my competitors were saying and what they were offering and what they were doing. And so Tony was upstairs playing homeowner. What did you learn from that, Tony? I had some thoughts later to think about it. I think we've mentioned this on the call, that just as a little asterisk here, I struggle a little with that now, with having competitors, because I understand the value of, especially a commission salesperson, I understand the value of their time. And you know, there were no sales opportunities. We called them out to do that, you know, and it's a little like shopping. I struggle a little bit with my comfort level of that, but it was very educational, wasn't it, Tony? What did we see?
It was extremely educational. I mean, when you do things the right way and you're going to get trained or be WQA certified, that just gives you some prestige. But when you put that out there when we had these people come in, some of the things that these competitors said and did in the demo were so out of whack. It was like, it's weird because I was trying to be the homeowner at the same time. I wanted to slap them upside the head and say, oh, what are you doing out there? But it actually showed us that, and Kelly especially, how much more the way that he went about taking care of his customer was the best approach. And I think it gave him a lot more confidence in utilizing the things that he's learned and applying to helping his customer get to where they want to go. But these guys, they would lie, they would make up stuff, they would not be able to describe exactly what they were doing. One guy, you know, it was the gamut from not having anything to a piece of paper to not even knowing how his test kit, what the items in his test kit were for or how to explain them. So it was all over the board, but it was eye-opening. Like Kelly said, I felt bad only for one person that we kind of wasted his time, but the information was huge to find out that, one, the way that this dealership presented themselves, and to have ethical salespeople that do things with integrity and have the customer's best interest at heart was worlds apart. So that was very interesting.
The confidence, for sure. I mean, just because, you know, it made sense why I was beating them in sales, because, you know, and like you said, there was one guy that was actually really good, and I came to respect him, you know, to it, because he was no, I knew that he was not out hurting the industry.
That
happened with you and I too. Do you remember when we did a similar thing when you first came in the industry, that we ran into a similar thing? Very valuable. So any other questions you guys have for Tony? So Tony, any parting words of wisdom or any anecdotes, any interesting history or stories that you might have to share?
Well, the biggest thing is you guys are doing what you need to do. I mean, you're on this call, or the people that are going to be listening to this later, you're going above and beyond what the normal person does to try to educate yourself and make you a better person out there and a better, you know, water representative. So I think that's going to lead to a ton of success. Do it with integrity. You don't have to lie. You tell people the truth, and you do things the way they're supposed to be done, and you're going to be highly successful.
Okay. Tony, it's talking about people that represent the industry with integrity, and the industry is definitely better with you in it.
Thank you. I appreciate that.
Any other final comments or thoughts, you guys? Then I would say let's call it a day. And Tony, again, thank you very much. I appreciate it. And everybody else, we will talk to you next week, if not before. Be safe, everybody. Have a great day.
Thanks, guys. Thanks, Tony.
Thanks.